Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, October 5th, week 5, about to get underway tonight. And we are going to talk wide receiver cornerback matchups for you DFS heads out there. Before I get into that, though, on the podcast today, I did want to briefly touch on the possible return this week for Jonathan Taylor and for Cooper Kupp. So let's dive into Taylor first and foremost. He's practicing, and he's practicing in full. Now, he has not officially been activated, and there's this two-step process here, whether you're talking about PUP or whether you're talking about injured reserve. You first are designated. So that designation opens up a 21-day window. So you essentially have 3 weeks. In that three-week span, you can practice with the team, and ultimately, the conclusion here is you need to be activated during that 21-day span, or you will revert to season-ending injured reserve, which that has happened. I've seen it happen a few times. Most of the time, and maybe it's 75% of the time, I don't have like actual numbers here. It's just based on my observations over the years. The players, when they are designated to return, they tend to be activated that first week. Sometimes you'll see them, maybe they're not quite there, so they're activated in the second week. Every so often you'll see a player who gets a, you know, suffers a setback in practice, and then, you know, they're just toast and they're done for the season. But a lot of times it does happen in this first week. So will it happen for Jonathan Taylor? Well, he is practicing in full. He actually spoke to the media, I believe it was today, if my records are correct here. Yeah, it looks like it was today. And he said, it feels really good to be healthy. Now, he didn't say anything beyond that point. We have no idea where they stand on the contract stuff. We have no idea if he's actually going to play, but there is a possibility. Yes, I'm telling you, there's a chance. So, if you have Zach Moss, what do you do? Well, first and foremost, if you have Zach Moss and you have Jonathan Taylor, you don't need to do anything because you have Jonathan Taylor when he comes back, if he comes back, and you have his handcuff. And if he doesn't come back, we know how Zach Moss is being used. He is a high-volume runner in that offense. Not always going to be an RB1. That's fine. So I'm viewing him more as an RB2 with an RB1 ceiling. Now, Jonathan Taylor, I'm viewing as an RB1. And if he comes back, he is going to take all that work. Zach Moss will just slide back to a handcuff. So if you have Zach Moss and you don't have Jonathan Taylor, your sell-high window could be coming to a close very quickly here. And what would I do? I would go to the Jonathan Taylor manager. First and foremost, take a look at their lineup, see if they have a running back who I could possibly swap for Moss, and then go and ask him, hey, Moss is on the block. Do you want him? And ideally, you get something done there. I wouldn't really want to necessarily replace him with a wide receiver unless I'm way overloaded at running back on my roster. I'd probably want to do a one-for-one, capitalize on selling high here. Yes, it could come back and bite you if Taylor doesn't play or if Taylor gets back on the field and then re-injures or gets hurt, you know, picks up another injury. Either way, that's something you have to figure out for yourself, what you want to do there. But it could be closing here. We could see Taylor on the field this weekend. Now, who knows? Now, let's go over to Cooper Kupp. I've had more people than I could count. It's got to be at least 25 people in the last day. That's a lot. Ask me the same question. Would you trade Cooper Kupp away? Which to me is almost unthinkable. Why in the world would we wait a month? A month! And you probably drafted Cooper Kupp. I mean, if you drafted him at the end of fantasy draft season, you drafted him at a value. If not, you drafted this dude in the first round. You're waiting a month only to trade him? Right when it appears that he is coming back. Now, Twitter, as informed as Twitter is, has informed me that the reason for this is Puka Nacua. Now, Puka Nacua has had a tremendous start to the season, and I am not going to knock that dude. He is a huge surprise. But think about it from the standpoint of Sean McVay. You have Cooper Kupp coming back, who has been fantastic over the course of his career here, especially in recent seasons. And yes, including last year when he was awesome for the first 2 months of the season before the injury. You have him coming back. You have Puka Nacua playing in essentially Cooper Kupp's role. What are you going to do? You're going to say, yeah, I'm sorry, Cooper Kupp. Puka's got the job. Are you kidding me? Now, the genie's out of the bottle with Puka Nacua. And Puka Nacua, my sentiment is I can't see how Van Jefferson stays out there, although for some reason he's always out there. So it's either Van Jefferson or Tutu Atwell that you get off the field. But the way that Tutu Atwell is playing, how can you get this dude off the field? So one of them is the odd man out, and Cooper Kupp is going to go into that role that is the high target role. Now, Puka Nacua, if that does play out, is more of a wide receiver three, but he's still pretty good. He's still very usable. But I cannot see any way of selling Cooper Kupp. And by the way, Kupp was listed as limited in practice yesterday, but Sean McVay said, yeah, it's going to be called limited, but he's not limited. So he seems like he could be back for this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Is it a sell high window on Puka Nacua? Potentially. People are overpaying for him right now, so I think you could get away with that. But there's also merit to just keeping him and seeing what happens. You have, like I said, a wide receiver three plus, and I might even be too low on him there because they're going to throw the ball around the yard. Matthew Stafford is as healthy. Well, granted, he picked up an injury last week, but he's going to play through it. But I'm talking more of his arm is as healthy as we've seen it in a few seasons since really the Super Bowl run. So with all of that said, yeah, he's in that range. And we have one other key piece here. We're one Cooper Kupp injury away from Puka Nacua being a 15 target a game guy. Well, that's exaggerating, but a double digit target per game guy. So I think there's merit to holding on to him. But I mean, come on. Like, it's always flavor of the week. It's always recency bias in fantasy football. And sometimes we got to take that longer view of things. All right, so that's my 2 cents on those two situations. Let's get into wide receiver cornerback matchup for this week. First and foremost, I am giving Tyreek Hill an upgrade like he needs it. But again, this is a DFS thing. And when I think of slate breakers, I think of guys like Tyreek Hill. You know, Derrick Henry was always a classic slate breaker at running back. But Tyreek Hill can break the slate. You know, 2 weeks ago, if you didn't have Tyreek Hill, you probably didn't do pretty well. Like, obviously, if you needed Raheem Mostert, maybe Achan. But if you didn't have Tyreek Hill in that game, didn't do particularly well. Tyreek Hill earlier in the season, too. You didn't have him, probably didn't do particularly well. He can break entire slates. Now, in this game against the Giants are using Deontay Banks. They did last week in shadow coverage. Now, I don't think they're going to shadow this week, but he is going to see plenty of Deontay Banks, and I like Banks in the future. But in the present, I mean, he's allowed a touchdown in his coverage each of the last 2 weeks. Michael Pittman, I expect a bounce back for him. I'm going to keep picking on this Tennessee secondary. Christian Fulton, bit of a human turnstile so far this season. Receivers catching 10 of 13 targets. He's played in 3 games, not 4. 19 yards per reception, though. So Michael Pittman, giddy up. If you are listening to this before Thursday Night Football, I do like DJ Moore in this matchup. Last week, we saw Emmanuel Forbes shadow A.J. Brown. If you watched that game, you saw Emmanuel Forbes get torched by A.J. Brown a few times. Brown put up 147 yards and 2 scores on 7 catches in Forbes coverage. Lit him up. 11 targets against Forbes. Another one, you know, I think Forbes has a bright future, but his present, I think it's good for DJ Moore. DJ Moore coming off that big performance last week. Akello Witherspoon ranks 3rd among qualifying cornerbacks, that is, in air yards per target faced. 17.3, which is really heavily downfield. Now, he's only allowed 6 catches on 16 targets, but that's a high air yards number, and that bodes really well for the aforementioned A.J. Brown to continue that hot streak this week. Alan Lazard found pay dirt last week. Zach Wilson looking better. Not looking that great, but better. And he faces a Denver defense that is getting lit up. Yes, Pat Surtain is on the other side, but I do expect Pat Surtain to be on Garrett Wilson for a good chunk of this game, which means Lazard's going to get Damari Mathis. He's allowed 22 of 25 targets to be caught for 288 yards and 4 touchdowns. Good for Lazard there. Also like Zay Flowers a lot this week. Patrick Peterson, certainly one of the better corners of his generation. You know, no issue with Patrick Peterson and his career arc, but we are definitely coming to the end of the line. He is showing his age this season. One of just three corners to allow four touchdowns on the season. Opposing wide receivers have averaged 15.4 yards per catch in his coverage. Again, very good for Zay Flowers, not necessarily the best for Patrick Peterson. And we should see, I mean, there's a good chance that we see Rashad Bateman and Odell back out there, but I still like Zay. I mean, Lamar is playing very good football right now, very efficient football right now. Zay is his guy so far this season, other than obviously Mark Andrews. So I could see, you know, I could see a Lamar, Mark Andrews stack working pretty well. I could also see a Lamar Zay Flowers stack working well this week, you know, as well. And honestly, with most of these, like, I don't think I can stack Zach Wilson with Alan Lazard, but I could definitely see stacking Jalen Hurts with A.J. Brown. The only challenge with that one is if it's, you know, if it's one of those weeks where either DeAndre Swift gets it done or it's just Jalen Hurts on the ground. That's the only drawback to that stack. Same thing with Michael Pittman, stacking him with Anthony Richardson. Like, Richardson could have a big week and Pittman doesn't. Whereas, like, if Tua has a big week, there's a pretty good chance Tyreek Hill has a big week, right? Like, Tua's not getting it done on the ground. So sometimes you have to think about those correlations when you put your stacks together. So, you know, just a little DFS talk. All right, moving over to some downgrades. I think pretty much every week when we face the Jets, we're going to be looking to downgrade receivers, you know, with the outside exceptions of some of, like, the biggest name guys. But the challenge with the Jets, like, they're allowing catches. It's just they're not allowing yards. They're keeping everything in front of them. So Sauce Gardner, 9.1 yards allowed in his coverage per catch. DJ Reed, 8.9. Michael Carter, 6.4. So this is bad news for Cortland Sutton, for Jerry Jeudy, for Marvin Mims this week. Russell Wilson is rolling a little bit, but I just don't want to mess with this matchup in DFS. I also surprisingly really don't want to mess with Houston. The Houston secondary is not bad. Tavier Thomas has been very good this season, 5.3 yards per catch. Now, he's a slot. Slots are often going to allow fewer yards per catch, but still, that's really low. Steven Nelson having a little bit of a revival season here, a 58% catch rate, two interceptions, two PBUs for him. The long story short, I don't like Drake London. I'm sure people are still going to be angry about Kyle Pitts. Just don't use him. Don't even pay attention to him. Like, why get so angry over football, man? Beautiful game. Anyway, Drake London, yeah, I'm not using him. Gabe Davis, I am not particularly excited about either. So he, you know, he's facing Jacksonville. And Jacksonville, heading into the season, we were thinking, oh, man, Tyson Campbell, this kid is, you know, a star in the making. And I'm not knocking Tyson Campbell because he's been fine, but what the heck? Darius Williams is playing. He's balling out. He's been one of the best corners in the NFL. 18 targets faced. He's made 7 plays on ball. So a play on ball is either a pass breakup or interception. 5 PBUs, 2 picks, 61% catch rate. And I do think, I mean, Stephon Diggs will see some Williams, but you're going to have, I mean, I'm not putting a damper on Stephon Diggs, but Gabe Davis, that boomer bust profile, I think this is more likely to go bust. So I'm staying away from him in any builds. How about this one? So Trayvon Diggs, that injury was pretty devastating to Dallas. But yet, all of a sudden, Deron Bland is playing really good football for them. Fresno State product, he has 3 interceptions on the season, 7.7 air yards per target. So nobody's getting targeted downfield on him. I think that's going to put a nice cap, or maybe not so nice cap, on what Brandon Ayuk can do from a ceiling standpoint this week. Also, careful with Nico Collins. He's been off to this hot start. It's easy to fall in love with previous numbers, but keep in mind, he's got a pretty tough matchup. I do expect A.J. Terrell to shadow Nico Collins this week. He shadowed Calvin Ridley last week, and he really pretty much shut Calvin Ridley down. Yes, Calvin Ridley did score a touchdown, but he only had the two targets in the game, and that's it. Very quiet day. So far this season, A.J. Terrell allowing 9.1 yards per catch in his coverage. So there you go. That'll set you up for some DFS action. Did want to briefly mention over at FTNDaily.com. So we have a brand new optimizer this year. It's called the Forecast. And unlike a lot of optimizers, it's not very complicated to use. However, if you're an advanced player, you will have all of the settings that you're looking for. I'll tell you that flat out. But it's not super hard to use. And if you're more of a beginner level player, maybe you want to put a few lineups into a GPP, give yourself a shot at winning. We actually have presets. So you can use my personal, and I just revised them a little bit right before, because every week I'm going to change them a little bit for each, you know, main slate. But I just revised them. You can click on my GPP settings for this week. And if you want to take those as a starting spot and revise those, you can. If you just want to use my settings and build similar lineups to what I'm going to build, you can do that too. It's really an awesome, awesome tool. So that is the optimizer, the forecast optimizer at FTNDaily.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. On the show tomorrow, I'll preview all of the remaining games on this week's slate, get you set up with any rankings changes, essentially, and other matchup stats and things to know for each of the remaining games. So we will do that on the show tomorrow, of course. In the meantime, you can follow along with me on Twitter, the artist formerly known as Twitter, where I am at Jeff Ratcliffe. And don't forget, for updated rankings, projections, all the goods, FTNFantasy.com, that same exact promo code RATPACK, will give you 10% off there, too. All of the FTN sites, you get it. All right, tomorrow, the big show coming at you, so I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and guess what? I'm out.